nominally friends with since middle school. We had gone trick-or-treating together. When we had the same lunch period, we ate at the same table in the cafeteria. I'd been to her house. And while we had never been especially close, and she was known in our group for being fickle with her attention, it had never occurred to me to think she didn't like me at least as much as she liked any of the rest of us. The whole thing set me off on an existential crisis. I was not popular in high school, and certainly not before it, but I never walked around my school feeling unliked. I knew myself to be a fairly kind, thoughtful, and loyal person, and so I assumed that everyone else thought of me that way too. I realized then that I'd been operating on the assumption that because I wasn't really aware of anyone who didn't like me, most people must. I had spent nearly 18 years of my life failing to consider a third possibility, that most people did not care about me one way or the other. To me, this seemed far worse than finding out someone hated me. When I was 16, someone told me that Melissa B. from Spanish class hated my guts, so I simply started hating her back. I still don't know why, or if it was even true, but I have considered her a low-level enemy ever since. Antipathy I can deal with. I like myself enough to get more mad than hurt when someone decides they cannot stand me. It's ambivalence that really gets under my skin. And the older I get, the more I am aware of it. Age itself, I'm sure, is no small part of it. There's only so much time in the day, and I do not want to waste any of it alongside someone or several someones I don't much care for. I can't blame anyone for prioritizing similarly. 5 or so years ago, I had more friends than I do today, and I think that is probably true for most people over the age of 30. The sad part is that I am positive I'm a better person today than I was 5 years ago, and much better still than 5 years before that. Surely most people improve as they get older. And yet, it is never again as easy to surround ourselves with friends as when we are at our youngest and our stupidest. In theory, I should be easier to like than ever before, but my world seems so much smaller than it used to be. I worry I was born with only a finite amount of likability in me, and I wasted too much of it on prior selves. When I was a teenager, I'd lie awake in bed for hours, legs in the air, feet pointed and then flexed, trying to stretch through the dull aching in my calves that came as a consequence of a rather sudden growth spurt. My whole life I'd thought of myself as short, until, seemingly out of nowhere, I was tall. Coming out has been a bit like this. More than 2 years later, I am still stretching, reaching for something solid enough to stand on. I cannot change anything about the trajectory of my past, and if I were given the opportunity, I'm not sure that I would. But I suspect that some of the things I have only recently learned, at 28 and 29 and 30, are things most people figure out much earlier. All that time I spent feeling righteous about my so-called conviction-based singleness, I had no idea how much work I had left to do. Being alone throughout my adolescence and young adulthood made me strong in some ways, but left me unchallenged in others, too. Some of the friends I judge for their back-to-back boyfriends have more than a decade's worth of the kind of interpersonal experience I am only now starting to accumulate. To make myself feel better when I was single, I told myself that I would come out ahead in the end, wiser and happier for having spent so much time by myself. But true and lasting love is not a reward you get for good behavior, and definitely not one you get for self-righteousness. There are a million ways to arrive there, and most of them look an awful lot like luck. There is no universal secret to getting it, and though I am sure I will keep looking, just in case, I'm pretty sure there isn't one to keeping it either. The only way I know how to find love is the one that worked for me, and that one took 28 and a half years. The amount of time I spent waiting may not be so long in the grand scheme of things, but it wasn't that long ago that I felt I'd been waiting forever. I waited until I couldn't stand to wait anymore, and then, finally, I tried something different. This is Katie Haney. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Would You Rather, a memoir of growing up and coming out. This program was directed by Maureen Monterubio, executive producer Nick Martorelli. Text copyright 2018 by Katie Haney. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.